we inform.
Religious freedom is about people of faith being able to live out their faith, live out their convictions, no matter where they are.
We equip.
Sacred honor is the courage to speak truth, to live out your free speech.
We also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome to At the Core with Walker Waldman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach, with you on this Thursday. Walker with you Monday, Wednesday, Fridays. I'm with you Tuesday, Thursdays, and sometimes we mix it up. But today, no matter who's on, we're celebrating. We're celebrating a reprieve for our country. We are celebrating the fact that God moved and did something that a lot of people didn't expect. We could be in an alternate universe right now, folks. We could be actually at this point either figuring out what in the world we're going to do over 4 years with a Harris-Waltz administration, or we could be what was kind of more expected for this programming on Thursday afternoon following the election, is that we wouldn't know yet, and that Trump would have been declared the winner by some, and then, you know, the Harris campaign kind of hiding out, not yet revealing any kind of a concession, and legal battles beginning in all seven battleground states, and Supreme Court filings happening, and everybody saying the other side cheated, and all of the chaos. It's what we kind of expected to happen. And God has given us one of the greatest blessings I think that I've ever experienced in terms of national, political maneuvering. And that is not only that Donald Trump and J.D. Vance had the biggest landslide since the Reagan-Bush years, but that the left conceded quickly, and we are not going to have to go through the chaos. I don't even think at this point we're going to have to face the chaos of the rascally Raskins of the world trying to, not allow Trump to become president through their, crazy lawfare and trying to claim that he's an illegitimate president, yada, yada, yada. I don't think even any of that is going to happen. I think this was such a landslide victory that 48 hours later, well, we're not quite 48 hours later, but we're close, it's pretty well resolved. And the transition team's already doing their work, and Harris has conceded. Joe Biden has come out and said there'll be a peaceful transfer, which was kind of his backhanded way of saying, no, she will not be 47. In other words, he ain't resigning. He's not going to let go and give her the 60 days as president, or even a month as president. So even if she invokes the 25th Amendment in the next few weeks, she's not going to be 47. She's going to be acting president if she does that and not go into the history books. She'll be no different than Dick Cheney or I guess he's the only example since the 25th, because George H.W., even though the 25th was invoked during Reagan's administration for a colonoscopy, George H.W. was not president. He was acting president, and then he did go on to be president. And then, of course, Joe Biden was in the same position with Barack Obama a couple times, but then went on to actually be president. Dick Cheney would be the only one that was acting president under the 25th Amendment that never became president. And so, Kamala would be in the same boat. Anyway, I think Joe Biden saying that there'll be a peaceful transfer, he's saying, I'll be the one to do that peaceful transfer. But we'll see. We'll see. I mean, there's some Democrats that are calling for him to step down so that she can be 47, and all the Trump hats that say 45 and 47 would have to, go in the trash or else be collector items. That would be funny, actually, if they did that, and then it made those hats worth more than they would have been if they hadn't done that. You know what? Everything the enemy means for evil, God turns to good, it seems like, lately. I know. I'm grinning from ear to ear. Not gloating. My pastor kept saying, before the election, we got to win with class or lose with class. I'm just joyful. Man, I'm joyful that we're not in a knockdown, dragout right now, legal battle, constitutional crisis over, whether or not January 6th is going to be crazy again and whether or not by January 20th we'll have someone to be inaugurated. I'm just thankful that it is such a clear victory that they figured out. Really, honestly, it was 9:26 p.m. on election night 9:26 p.m. is when we were sitting there doing our election coverage for America Stands, which, by the way, was the best election coverage on election night of any network out there. The set was just stunning. The commentary was amazing. And we had not only really good political analysis from some of the best minds in that space, and then historical perspective as well, but we got the spiritual perspective. So it was just a really, really cool evening and fantastic coverage. And we went from 6 p.m. Texas time to about, what was it, 1 a.m., maybe 1:30 a.m.? And we were actually going off the air, literally doing the countdown. I could hear the producers and everybody doing the countdown. We were all on stage, you know, everybody that had been there, David Barton, Tim Barton, and Gene Bailey, all these folks, and we had a great time. And no declared winner yet. I take that back. Michelle Bachmann and David Barton had actually called it for Trump at like 12 midnight or something like that. Maybe 11:30. I don't remember. Anyway, but when we're actually signing off, it still wasn't official from any other network. No one else had called Pennsylvania. And all of a sudden, I'm not kidding you, we were counting down 10, 9, 8. And our decision desk over there that was doing all the analysis starts going crazy. We see him waving, and he's like, Pennsylvania's been called. Pennsylvania's been called. And so as we're going off the air, that made it official. And Donald Trump was, you know, declared the winner. But several hours before that, at 9:26 p.m., because I asked him to go back the next morning, yesterday, I guess, Wednesday, we were doing a recap, and I asked him to go back and look at what time it was when David Barton, on air, read from the New York Times that Trump was projected, that New York Times was projecting that Trump would win all seven battleground states. And you know, I say that right now after now it's clear that he has won those and it's not a big deal. But in the moment, I it's hard to describe to you what that felt like there on the, I mean, I'm sitting up there on the commentary dais thing and David's over standing by one of the big screens, you know, and there, and he reads this off of his phone. And when he does that, you could feel it, man. You could feel it in that room. And I'm not, you know, I mean, look, I grew up Pentecostal, but I'm not overly dramatic about this kind of stuff normally, but I'm telling you, you could feel the strongholds of the enemy dissipate and just disappear. And there was this relief in the room, and I felt it, man. It was like, okay, that means, number one, that means Trump's going to win. Number two, that means the left has given up and they're not going to drag this out and us have these massive legal battles, constitutional battles, all of that. And it was just in that moment. So I will never forget that moment, 9:26 p.m. on election night, that it was all of the hard work, all of the prayers, all of the intercession, all of the thwarting of the enemy's evil plans. Because, friends, what's different right now today than what I was doing 4 years ago at this point, because right after the 2020 election, man, I was doing live shows almost every day for 2 months as the battle drug on and as the fight in each of these states happened. And there was clearly manipulation. And if you don't think the election was stolen in 2020, come on, folks, look at the numbers. 60-something million votes for Barack Obama both times. 60-something million votes for Hillary Clinton. 60-something million votes for Kamala Harris. And, oh, somehow, some way, the candidate from the basement, Joe Biden, 80-something million votes. How did he get 20 million more votes than Barack Obama and Kamala Harris? And, you know, obviously he didn't. I mean, obviously there was a lot of cheating and a lot of manipulation in 2020 to make that happen. And so anyway, 4 years ago at this time, we were dealing with just constant, not stress is not even the right word. It was just this pensive, nobody knew what was going to happen. It was just insane. And so at 9:26 p.m. on Tuesday night, all of that went away, knowing that that was not going to happen. And I'm just telling you, man, what a relief. What a relief. Now, I do not believe our nation is saved. I do not believe this means, oh, wow, Donald Trump won, so it's all over. We're done. We saved the country. Go back to life as normal. No, not at all. You know what just happened, folks? Two biblical analogies for you. Number one, we just crossed the Red Sea. God just performed a miracle in a nation where 85% of the major media coverage of one candidate was negative. 85%. I mean, if you got a report on Yelp or anywhere else that almost 9 out of 10 times a vendor, doctor, mechanic, whatever you were thinking about going to, 9 out of 10 times roughly, everybody says terrible, don't do it, awful, going to be horrible, your life will be ruined, you probably wouldn't go there, right? 78% of the coverage of Kamala Harris, positive, glowing, she's amazing. And even in that world and against those headwinds, and even with the assassination attempts and the lawfare and the lawsuits and the criminal and the civil and the just all of the chaos, it was miraculous. There's no other way to put it. Okay, so God just performed the miracle. That, you know, we just crossed and on dry land, and now we're on the other side. But we still got to take the promised land. We're still going to have to scratch and claw for every inch. It's not just going to be handed over to us. The left owns every major institution in America right now. They're not going to just give it up. Even at the federal level, with the executive now being Donald Trump and J.D. Vance again, every major federal agency is going to fight him tooth and nail. Whoever he appoints to run those agencies, whatever other appointees they put in, it's going to be fighting, scratching, and clawing for every inch to get rid of regulation, to get rid of agencies, hopefully, to reduce the federal bureaucracy, all of that. It's going to be a knockdown, dragout in Washington, D.C. for the next 4 years. The swamp is not going to go easily. They will be like a bunch of alligators. All right? At the same time, all of that fight in Washington, D.C. is just going to give us air cover to restore liberty and take back ground in our communities. So for you and me, the work is just beginning. We just crossed the Red Sea. We just had the miracle. We just were delivered from the enemy in terms of the election. But now we got to take back ground. Now we have to go take back the promised land. Now we have to restore truth, justice, and the American way. Now, restoring truth, justice, and the American way is going to require you and me to spend our time, our money, and our reputation for several years to come in order to restore liberty for our children and our grandchildren. That is a fight worthy of having, folks. That is a battle I am more than willing to get dressed up for and jump in. And you should be as well. And you should be so encouraged today. You should be, I mean, looking for what can I do in 2025? To help restore liberty. So that's the one analogy. We've crossed, the miracle happened, the Egyptians have been, you know, drowned, and we're now going to take ground. We're going to have to fight for every city, every part of it. And we can't be like the children of Israel were. They watched the miracle happen, and then those 10 spies came back from the promised land and said, oh, it's too hard, the giants are too big, the cities are too fortified. And they depressed the people, and an entire generation had to die in the wilderness. We're not going to do that. We're going to be Joshua and Caleb, and right now we're going to say, giants, yes, there's giants in Washington, D.C., and every federal agency. There's giants locally all across this country. The left is in everything now, the media, journalism, you name it, all of it. But God's given us the land, and he's given us the peaceable means to take that ground back. We know what to do. We know how to do this. So we're going to be able to take that ground back. So that's the first analogy, and as we're going to break the second analogy very quickly, this is very much like King Cyrus sending Nehemiah back with the money and the permission and the letters and all those things, but the work still had to be done. He had to rebuild the walls. He had to rally the folks. They had to have a sword in one hand, a trowel in the other, and had to do the hard work of rebuilding the walls. The foundation's been laid. We now have the king's blessing, and it is now time to rebuild the walls. It's time to rebuild truth, justice, and the American way, and we get to do it together. You and me, we get to do it together. We're going to do it with American Family Association, with Patriot Academy, with Wall Builders, with all these organizations out there that are poised and ready. And for decades, God has prepared for this moment, for such a time as this. I am absolutely excited about what's about to happen in this country over the next few years. We have such an amazing opportunity, and we're going to take full advantage of it. We're going to press the gas, folks. And we're going to restore liberty in this country. What a wonderful, wonderful time to be alive. As Ronald Reagan said, I'm glad I don't live in pale and timid times. I live in a time where what I'm doing is going to make a difference. That's you and me, folks. Quick break. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. You're listening to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio with your host, Rick Green.
Welcome back to At the Core with Walker Wobbin and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. The phone number today is 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. I should have summarized in the first segment just real quickly election results. I mean, everybody knows it, but we're looking at not only Donald Trump and J.D. Vance, greatest landslide since the Reagan-Bush years, but also Republicans are definitely going to take the Senate. They've got 52 locked down for sure, could end up at 54, 55. I don't know that that's going to happen now. The Democrats are squeaking out a couple of those really close ones in Nevada and Arizona. It looked like pretty wide, not as wide a margin as it looked like it was going to be. I think they're down about 50,000 votes. Kerry Lake's losing there, which makes no sense. I know. I mean, that one baffles me because she's basically Trump in heels. And, he's winning pretty handily there in Arizona. And so a lot of people split their ticket on that one. And it just doesn't make sense to me. But it is what it is. She would have been a great senator. I hope, they're doing the thing now where, they allow you to go perfect ballots. It's just weird. These states that allow this, it's crazy. But you got to work the system that you've been given. So we'll see what happens on that one. Looks like Pennsylvania, though. We may pick up a Senate seat in Pennsylvania that honestly, most people didn't think it was going to be possible. I mean, the Casey name has been, forever in Pennsylvania, and it looks like McCormick may squeak that one out. It's very, very close. And a couple other ones that are super close. But anyway, well, the Senate, definitely Chuck Schumer's out of a job as majority leader. Thank you, Lord, for that, because that man is just, anyway, I'm not even going to go there. So Senate going Republican. That's huge for a lot of reasons. Obviously, all of Trump's appointees. And then clearly in the court, because regardless of whether or not another Supreme Court justice slot it becomes available to him in his second term, which I think they will, because Clarence Thomas is 76, Alito's 74. Could they go another 10 years each? Sure. But Thomas is the best Supreme Court justice of my lifetime. And I want to make sure he's replaced by somebody just as good. So thankfully, American Family Association and First Liberty and all these other groups have already been vetting some of these appellate justices and district judges. So should there be an opportunity, there's several really good ones available. But even beyond the Supreme Court is, of course, the appellate courts and the district courts. So each president in 4 years, on average, gets about 25% of the judiciary that they get to appoint. And so, Trump got to do that in his first term. Now he's going to get another 25%. And to have a Senate that will approve those and make sure that we get good justices, not just moderate, not just, mediocre, but good ones. And frankly, Trump did a good job of that in his first, in his first term. And so a stellar job of that. And so Lord willing, we'll get that again. So getting the Senate's a big deal. Now, the House is technically, they're saying, is still up for grabs, but projections are Republicans will not only hold the House, but potentially pick up a few seats, as many as a 9-vote majority is possible at this point, which is still a slim margin, but way better than a 1-vote majority, right? So anyway, we'll see what happens there. My buddy Juan Ciscomani is on the edge. He's already come back. He's now ahead by 1,600 votes there in the Tucson area of Arizona. And should he end up winning that one, I think that will basically lock down that Republicans will keep the majority. How many more they win, it could be weeks before we know exactly what's going to happen there. Now, that's important for a lot of reasons, because it prevents the Raskins of the world from having the ability to control committees that would do investigations and do all their crazy shenanigans and show trials and Soviet-style, abuse of the process and propaganda machine, and trying to impeach Trump a million more times in his second term and just distract. So if this holds, if this continues to be the case, if you have the White House and the House and the Senate and, frankly, the Supreme Court that leans conservative, it's not super conservative, but, it leans conservative, folks, you've got a real window of opportunity here to make some significant changes at the federal level. And you've got the team that can do it. I mean, if you send in Elon Musk to go in and wipe out the federal judiciary the same way that he did the Twitter, actually get rid of 80% and be even more efficient than you were before, do a better job, that's what this guy could do. That's what should have been done a long time ago. We've been screaming for that forever, but it's hard to get politicians to do that kind of thing. You put somebody like Elon Musk on it, it could get done. And by the way, I'm really chuckling at the fact that Elon Musk spent like $75 million during this election, and Tesla's stock went up, let's see, how much? 13%, something like that. His wealth increased by $26 billion in the last 48 hours, right after the election. So let's see. Let me think about that. I'm not the best investor in the world, but, you know, if I put $75 million in and I get $26 billion, I'd say that's a pretty good day. Anyway, so super excited about Musk being a part of that. Obviously, RFK already talking about just completely transforming the FDA, CDC, Center for Demented Confusion. I think they ought to be wiped out completely. He's basically saying everybody pack your bags. Going to be a complete remaking of those agencies. Me personally, you know, if you listen to this program, those are not constitutional agencies in the first place. They should be completely wiped out. And if American people want the federal government to run their health care and run their pandemics in the abysmal, awful way that they did COVID, then the American people can support a constitutional amendment to create that. But otherwise, there should be no CDC. There should be no FDA. Those things should be done at the state level and by private enterprise. And I don't think that's where RFK is going to go, because he is a liberal, so he leans more towards there should be government management of these things. But at least he'll sever the tie between our federal agencies and Big Pharma. Because right now it's a revolving door, and it's not even a revolving door, it's an open door. And that's why we've had such abuse of the system. So that's going to be good. So you got Elon Musk, you got RFK. I mean, this is way beyond just electing a President Trump. This is a dream team that's coming in. I mean, Tulsi Gabbard, come on. These are rock stars that will get the job done. So this is going to be very different, in my opinion, from the first Trump presidency. He is not going to be undermined by his staff and his appointees. So I would be praying right now for what's happening right now with the transition team, because the decisions being made behind the scenes right now by that transition team are going to dictate the next 4 years. And it looks very, very promising. So all of that, to say, we have a window. We have a window, folks. And there's never been, since Calvin Coolidge, there has not been a Republican president, House, and Senate for the full term. So I'm not even sure that will happen here. I think that should spell urgency on the part of Republicans to move quickly and do the big things immediately. Don't drag this out. Don't give them the opportunity to, you know, the death of a thousand cuts and prevent the big changes from taking place. Donald Trump had 2 years with a Republican House and Senate. George W. Bush had 2 years in his first term with a Republican House and Senate, 2 years in his second term with a Republican House and Senate. And then you got to go back to Calvin Coolidge, which was the last truly constitutional president. And so maybe that's a good omen. Maybe Donald Trump will be that. And maybe he'll get a full 4 years with a Republican House and Senate. But it needs to be more than just a Republican House and Senate. It needs to be a transformational, restore the Constitution, rebuild truth, justice, and the American way. And yes, by the way, I said this the other night on television when I mentioned the truth, justice, and the American way. People want to give that credit to Superman in the comic books, which is, of course, where I got it. But it's actually the Superman, Jesus Christ, that gave us that. Yes. Truth, justice, and the American way. Those are biblical values. Now, I know people say, oh, you're worshiping America and you're saying America's biblical. America's not mentioned in the Bible. No, the American way comes from the Bible. The entire American exceptionalism system is a biblically based system. Our free enterprise, our justice system, where there's neither, you know, Jew nor Greek, rich or poor, everybody's treated the same, blind justice, that's a biblical value. Everything that made America great in the first place came from a biblical perspective, because the founding fathers were quoting the Bible 34% of their quotes. So yeah, they got about 8% that's Montesquieu and 8% that's Blackstone and 2.5% that's John Locke. But 34% of the time they're quoting the Bible. So truth, justice, and the American way being rebuilt in this country means simply rebuilding biblical values into our culture. Actually being salt and light. Imagine that. Christians being salt and light. I mentioned this the other night. Elections are nothing more than a report card on what we've done in the Great Commission. Here's what I mean by that. An election tells you whether or not we have made disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey everything Jesus commanded. If we've done a good job of discipling, then the disciples will vote for, and they'll be voting, because a good disciple is a good steward of what they've been given. So if disciples are voting, then disciples of Christ that have been taught to obey everything he commanded are voting for those things that are reflected in biblical values. And so if we've done our job in the Great Commission, then we will have voters that are choosing leaders that are actually reflecting biblical values. How about that? Now, I'm not suggesting that any one candidate is going to be perfectly biblical at any level. But overall, does the election reflect good discipleship? I would say we improved our discipleship over the last few years, and so we have better results than we've had, but we've got a long way to go, which means back to rebuilding truth, justice, and the American way, we have to make biblical citizens. We have to actually make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey everything he commanded. So no matter what, in terms of election outcome, our mission, our commission, our great commission does not change. And so as long as we're out there doing our job, then we will see more positive results in even the political realm, in the entertainment realm, in the education realm, in the media and journalism realm, business. All of these areas will become better because they'll have biblical values permeating them, and therefore if you're putting the good stuff in, you're getting the good stuff out. All of that will happen if we're making disciples, if pastors are actually preaching the gospel, the full gospel, not leaving politics or business or family or property or any of those things off the table. All of those things, there's a way to manage and steward those things in a biblical way. So let's go make disciples, man. We'll restore this nation. We'll rebuild truth, justice, and the American way. So much that we can do. All right, let's get to the phones. 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Gary from Oklahoma is up first. Gary, go ahead, man. What's your comment, question, or insult today?
Hey, good afternoon. I hear you talking about the Trump transition team, and it's exciting. And you're telling us to, you know, all of us should do our share and pull our part of the dog team there. And I was wondering if you knew how a guy like me could get a hold of the Trump transition team and see if my background and qualifications could possibly help in the administration.
Right side of this thing. You need good people to go into the bureaucracies. I know I'm always dissing on the bureaucracies. Listen, the fourth branch is a huge part of the problem in America. It's way too big, it's out of control, and it's not been held accountable. But we're gaining ground. The Supreme Court decisions over the last year or two that have basically said we're going to start holding the fourth branch accountable. Congress is going to have to do its job. That's what they're supposed to do, is hold them accountable. But also you need good people in there because you do need some of these agencies. Now, most of them are unconstitutional. I heard Elon Musk saying there's over 400 federal agencies. I can think of about 10 or 12 major departments that are unconstitutional. But there's also all these little agencies that get created that are also unconstitutional. So in my dream world, we just fix the Commerce Clause. If you actually go in and restore the original intent of the Commerce Clause, just underline what used to be there and use Mark Levin's amendment that he drafted in his book Liberty Amendments. It's a little bitty two-paragraph amendment that would restore the original intent of the Commerce Clause. And in one amendment, we would wipe out probably 100 federal agencies. It would be phenomenal. It would just make, get back to being constitutional, get back to being a constitutional republic, a republic of republics where the U.S. government is only doing those things that the Constitution says they can do. But even then, you've still got departments and agencies that are proper functions of the federal government, and you need good people in there. You need good people to go in and basically defund and phase out the unconstitutional agencies. And then you need good people to go in to these other agencies and help run them and make them more, constitutional and more efficient. And so, yeah, you're going to have your big dogs like Elon Musk and RFK and Tulsi Gabbard and these others that will be sent in to do that. But then you're going to need little guys like us that go in and do the, maybe not the heavy lifting, but the rest of the lifting in those agencies. So I'll try to get more information on that by Tuesday and get that to folks. We got several folks calling in, so I'll get to your calls as soon as we come back from the break. And for those of you that haven't yet called in that have a comment, question, or insult, the phone number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Real quick recap on the election. If you've been living under a rock, Donald Trump and J.D. Vance, greatest landslide victory since the Reagan-Bush years. Republicans hold the Senate, or take the Senate, with at least 52 seats, and looks like they'll hold the House and actually pick up seats. So big, big changes coming to Washington, D.C. We'll be talking about them here on At the Core, talking about some of the things you can do locally to rebuild liberty in this country. Stay with me, folks. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Be right back on At the Core.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio with your host, Rick Green.
Welcome back to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Sorry about that, folks. Had some technical difficulties right at the end of that last segment. And, man, I was just pontificating. I mean, I was going off. All kinds of great wisdom coming out of this head of mine. You're just kidding. Anyway, I was ranting for a few minutes there, and y'all missed all of it. So sorry about that. But here's the deal. So we got a call about, you know, what can I do in the transition? And I know Project 2025 has gotten all kinds of negative press out there. The left jumped on it. Even Trump said some, frankly, foolish things about it. It's actually really good. Okay, Project 2025 is actually extremely good. Not only is it good policy and a lot of really well thought out plans, but it's also a process for getting involved. So to the caller before the break, project2025.org, project2025.org, and on that page, you can actually apply to be on the list and in the database to potentially get, you know, involved in the transition and potentially go work for the administration in one of these agencies. You can also get training. They've got training opportunities there. So project2025.org is where I'm sending everybody. And here's the thing. You're going to have these big dogs like Elon Musk and RFK and these others that go in there to phase out agencies, hopefully wipe out entire agencies. Elon said there's over 400 of them. I mean, I can name about 10 or 15 that are unconstitutional. I didn't realize there were 400 of them. So there's a lot of work to be done to just get rid of the fat. Just cut the fat. If Elon does 80%, gets rid of 80% of them like he did at Twitter, and it's even more effective and a better company, and he can go in and do that at the federal level, wow, that would be huge. I don't expect that big of a gain because there's so many people and lobbyists and money that are going to be fighting tooth and nail to not ever get rid of any agency and to only grow government. That's why it's the mess it's in. But we do have a window here to be able to do that. There's momentum to potentially make changes that big. That could save our country, folks. That's big. And so if you want to be a part of that, project2025.org is important because it's going to take more than the big dogs at the top setting that policy and pushing for that. It's going to take a bunch of us little folks going in there and actually doing our little part and being one of the folks that helps to phase some of these agencies out or helps to make them more efficient and go in and do, you know, some of them are constitutional. I mean, look, the Constitution does give 17 specific things to the federal government to do. And so they need to do those things well. And so you need good bureaucrats. I'm always talking about training up the next generation to be leaders and get elected and all of that. But you also need people to go into the bureaucracies and actually be good stewards of those government agencies that are constitutional and then go in and phase out and get rid of the ones that aren't. So if you want to be a part of that, an answer to that caller from the last segment, project2025.org, you can apply, you can get training. It's all right there on the website. Okay, let's get back to the phones. I see a bunch of them here. Wendy in Alabama. Let's just go there. Wendy in Alabama. Go ahead, Wendy. You're up next. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
All right, go for it.
Go for it. Well, I'm really a Floridian, but now I've been in Alabama with my mother-in-law. And I've been seeing these planes. Every time I get a beautiful blue sky here above my house, I see the planes come spray. But then, they're clouds, but it's from the spray. They're spraying these toxic chemicals, making clouds, making bright blue skies into milky white skies. My temperature here is 76 right now. And if you go back 30 years ago and 20 years ago, it would be 60 outside and in the 30s at night. It's been the 70s at night and 76 during the day. It's not global warming, not from God. It's cloud covering that they're making clouds throughout the entire world with these seeding planes. And then they're holding and trapping the warm air under the clouds, not letting the cold air from the atmosphere come through. So we're having warmer weather. But then they can stack these clouds as high as they want. We can't see it. We only see it from our perspective. But and they use sound waves, and they use 5G towers and other kinds of electromagnetic things to burst these clouds. And I'm not surprised that they can then deluge cities in minutes, seconds, like what happened at Noah's flood.
So I'm I'm going to cut you off, Wendy, only because, you know, you got some great stuff here, but we can't take up the whole program on it. So let me just say this. I think a lot of what you're talking about, I would have said 5 years ago, that's crazy talk. I don't say that now. I think what you're talking about is actually something we absolutely have to investigate and find out exactly what the effects are, because you cannot mess with the weather like this and there not be ramifications and negative side effects. And you don't do this just out of the goodness of your heart. So I think there are absolutely nefarious reasons for all of these chemtrails and all of this manipulation of the process that's taking place. I don't know how much. I don't know how far it goes. I am certainly no expert, but I know there are people that are using this. I believe that there are people that are going to use this to try to create particular public opinions, exactly as Wendy said about global warming and all of this nonsense. They are using this whole climate change thing to manipulate trillions of dollars, to manipulate policy, and they've got a bunch of people out there that has become their religion. They worship the environment, and they worship and believe all of this craziness that has been taught to kids for the last 40 years that somehow man-made climate change is destroying the earth. And so that has become a winning issue for the left to gain control of your dollars and your actions. So that part is absolutely without a doubt true. And so now the problem is that you end up with these chemtrails and you end up with this manipulation of the weather and the seeding, cloud seeding and all this, and you get very little information. And so obviously we're going to be concerned, and obviously we're going to wonder how much of that is actually causing major climate problems like hurricanes or whatever it might be. And I don't know the answer to that. So I'm going to do more homework on it. We absolutely have to look into it, and we should have answers. And I, you know, the fact that they can actually put this stuff in the skies over us and we don't know what the long-term side effects of any of that's going to be is incredibly dangerous. I mean, you know, it's obviously dangerous for them to inject you with an experimental drug that is not even an actual vaccine and then lie to you about what the outcome of that will be. It's also dangerous for them to put things in the sky over our crops and over us and not tell us what it is and for us not to know what the long-term side effects of that will be. So anyway, didn't mean to spend that much time on that one issue, but absolutely glad that it got raised. All right, let's go to Pennsylvania. Kimberly is up in Pennsylvania, and congrats to Pennsylvania for making a wise choice in the presidential race and potentially doing the same thing in the Senate race there. Kimberly, go ahead.
Amen. Hey, can you hear me, Rick?
I can. Yes, ma'am.
Praise God. Scott Perry just got confirmed. We heard it on the AP.
All right. Good man.
Yeah.
That's one of our good ones.
Congressman Scott Freedom
Was his close?
Man.
I didn't
we
even realize
back.
His was close.
Oh, it's been it's not contested. It's been race to watch is what
no
they've
kidding.
Been saying. It was only 5,000 votes different. So anyway, why I was calling, though, the other caller asked my question, then you guys went down, but you just said, so Project 2025. But the other thing I wanted to say was actually a question, and then is there any way we can get this, like, to the Trump team? I have a great, great concern about Inauguration Day. Is it a requirement by law that it has to be performed in D.C., or could the Trump team do it somewhere else, say Mar-a-Lago or somewhere else?
That is a great question. Kimberly, that's a fantastic question. By the way, I'm looking it up, and you're right. Scott Perry is confirmed to win his race, so that's very good. And also, one more thing to Pennsylvania before I answer her question. Hats off to Tony Shoup and Stephanie Borowitz and all the warriors in Pennsylvania that did such a great job. They spent the last 4 years solidifying a defense to any attempts to steal the election. And her, you know, Tony's audit the vote and Stephanie's efforts with the Constitution classes from Patriot Academy and Tony's efforts on that all over the state of Pennsylvania had a huge impact and I think was the difference maker in Pennsylvania. So God bless those ladies and all the hard work that they have been doing. Okay, to your point, to your question, no, there's no requirement there. I mean, I think I doubt they would do that because they would see it as almost surrendering to the insanity of Washington, D.C., and my hope is that they actually take ground back in D.C. My My suggestion to the Trump team is going to be to use the Constitution to take over D.C. again, because, you know, the idea of Washington, D.C. being run by these ultra liberals and, you know, Soros DAs and all of the craziness that happened. The Constitution gives Congress the power to control Washington, D.C., and so they should do that. They should go back in, clean house, clean up the city, get rid of the crime, you know, put their foot down and make it once again a national capital that we can be proud of. And I think there's a good chance that they'll actually do that. I was asked another question the other night last night on my election recap, and we didn't have time to go into it. And I could remember vaguely some of the answer, but I wanted to double check my notes on this. And so the question was this, and this is, I hate even talking about this, but a lot of people are asking it. There's been two assassination attempts on Donald Trump. What happens if they succeed or something, you know, God forbid that something happens to him prior to the inauguration? You know, is there an immediate transfer to J.D. Vance, even if they weren't sworn in yet? How does all that work? Okay, so here's the issue. Here's the question. The question is, if the president-elect dies or, you know, something happens and they cannot take office prior to the inauguration on January 20th, does the vice president-elect become president, or do you have to have another election, or does it default to the opponent, to the next, you know, the person that got the next largest amount of electoral votes? And so here's the unfortunate thing. The Constitution is not clear on this, okay? It is very clear in the 20th Amendment that the president-elect, if something happens to the president-elect, then the vice president-elect becomes the president on Inauguration Day. The question is, when does the candidate become president-elect and the vice president-elect? Everybody pretty much agrees that upon certification, on when the Congress opens the electoral votes and certifies the Electoral College, that at that point the president is definitely president-elect. So between January 6th and January 20th, not a lot of question there what would happen. There is a question as to what happens between the casting of the electoral votes in December and the opening and counting of the electoral votes in January, and the time period between the election itself 2 days ago and the casting of the electoral votes that will take place in December. I personally believe that that would be easily resolved, and that the court, if there was a challenge on this, would say the president-elect is the president-elect as soon as the election is over and it becomes clear who won. So if it was up in the air and no one won the Electoral College, then you would have to wait until, if no one got a majority, in other words, then you would have, like what happened in 1824, then you would have to wait for Congress to make the decision as the 12th Amendment lays out. But in a situation where the president-elect is very clear and we're all already calling him or her the president-elect, then there's no question that if something was to happen to the president-elect on November 10th or 20th or December or whatever, that the vice president-elect should be sworn in as president on January 20th. So I believe that's what would play out, but I got to tell you, that is not clear in the Constitution. It's not laid out in the Constitution when the president-elect, when the candidate actually becomes president-elect, other than when the Electoral College votes are actually certified by Congress in January. So anyway, I don't say that to make you nervous or scared or any of that kind of stuff, but so many people have been asking that. I needed to answer that question. It is not crystal clear in the Constitution for that period from November to January. However, it is most likely clear that everybody would agree that is the president-elect. Not everybody, because obviously the left will do anything to gain power, so they would love to manipulate that process. But should that get challenged, I believe the Supreme Court would be very, very clear on that. Now, solution for that, by the way, as we're going off the air, is very simple. Congress absolutely can pass a bill. The 20th Amendment even opens that door for Congress to lay out by law how this process would work, and so they need to do that. They need to get they need to go ahead and agree on the fact that once the president-elect is chosen on election night and the votes are counted and it's very clear that that is now going to be the president-elect, you don't have to wait for the ministerial process of the Electoral College votes to be cast in December when they meet in the individual states, or for the counting of those votes in January, to know that that is the president-elect and the vice president-elect, and therefore if something were to happen, God forbid, then that 20th Amendment process would kick in at that point. So anyway, hope that answers that question for so many folks that have asked that. And I'm sorry, I know we had several more calls and I didn't get to them because I got off on that particular question from last night that I didn't get a chance to answer in my election recap. Hope that makes sense to everybody. Listen, a lot of work to do, folks. We are blessed to have been given a reprieve in this country. Now let's make the most of that. Let's not be lazy. Let's not sit back and say, oh, it's all done. Now's the time to press in. So yes, I'm talking to you. Start thinking about what you're going to do, not only in 2025, but right now, between now and the end of the year. Get signed up as a Constitution Coach. I'm going to give you an easy one. Go to constitutioncoach.com. Get signed up for free. And start a class in your community. It will give you community and other patriots that you can team up with to help rebuild truth, justice, and the American way. Let's do this, folks. We've got a wonderful opportunity to do this. You should absolutely be encouraged today. Let's go rebuild truth, justice, and the American way. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. You have been listening to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green.